Today's daf in Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKodesh, is daf Pei Beit. However, unfortunately, because pubs are currently closed, the only thing that Pei Beis will get you into is a bathroom. And the idea over here is we continue with our bathroom material. And I think at this point, everybody is getting a little bit frustrated at the fact the same thing that Ravuna's son was getting frustrated about, that I don't go to yeshiva to learn about bathrooms. And this is the question. What in the world is this sugya doing here at such incredible length? The question of exactly what type of stone you could take into a bathroom and can you walk upstairs with it and how does the rectum work and what kind of... I'm like, what in the world? So Rabosai, I am going to tell you. Aha! And it's really quite astonishing, okay? Let's take by step, gentlemen. What is the mocker of the Shabbos in Maaseh Bereishis, which brings us to our entire sugya? The mocker is, Vayevorech Elohim, es Yom HaShvi'i, Bama Bercho, Beman. It's from there that we learn out Hachona, and it's from there that we learn out Hotzah. And what happened when Klal Yisrael complains about the man? They have to go to the bathroom. So when you lose the Bircha Shabbos, Ani Amarti Elohim Atem, I wanted you to be like gods that would never need to use the bathroom. Now you're going to need to be Toreach Ad Yud Beis Mil, the whole Gemara that we had about the Evel Hashitim. So this means that bathrooms, essentially, are the counterface of Shabbos. Now, the other Pella that brings this all together is that the Isser of carrying on Shabbos, in terms of the Pasuk, is Ish Al Yetze. You're not allowed to go out on Shabbos, and that was in order to get the man. But the chiyuv of going to the bathroom is V'yatzata chutz. You need to go out of the machane. That din of yitzia min ha-machane, which is in kiteitse, of course, and the name for defecation is mutzaot, as we find, which is hotzos, which is exactly the name of the sugya, mutzaot. The Torah says if you're going to go out to the bathroom, so you need to go yad tielecha. You need to have a specific place where you go to the bathroom. Why? Because of the kavod of the machane. And since v'hayah machanecha kadosh is mechayev you to walk out with a yated tielecha al azeinecha, you're supposed to be carrying something that is going to be able v'chisita etzeyatecha, to be able to cover over defecation. But what do you do on Shabbos? Since the machana, would you be mutter to go out with the yated on Shabbos? I don't mean with the newspaper yated, which also serves the same purpose, apparently, according to many people. But with the yated, would you be able to go to the bathroom on Shabbos? Now, this would be because of the kavod ha-machana. Here we're talking about what do the rabbanon have to be matir in terms of the kavod ha-adam in these cases. So the entire question is so deeply, deeply connected to the whole original position of Shabbos in Maaseh Bereishis, with everything that it took into consideration of allowing humans to evolve to the point where that most animal element of them, which brings them down as it does in Gan Eden, to the what it means that you are afar, el afar tashuv, and all of the issues that have to do with achein ki adam to mutun, if you wish to choose to be an animal, is deeply connected to Shabbos, deeply connected to Hotzah specifically, and therefore finds itself in the Prokim of Hamotzi, right, with the various different shiurim. And I will also point out to you the other thing that we've mentioned in other contexts, which is a deeper element, and this is the reason that it's so much fun to go to the bathroom on Shabbos. There's nothing so cozy like taking in a book into the bathroom on Shabbos, right? Now, why should that be, okay? So we have to realize that the V'haya Machanecha Kadosh and its relationship to bathrooms is certainly associated with the fact, and we talked about this in Brochus, that the only time that we mention the Hashroas HaShchina, which is always in terms of Shabbos and Mishkan, is Galui V'yadua Lifnei Chisei Chivodecha, which has to do with an understanding and appreciation of the nature of defecation, which is amazing. There are two things that are Me'ein Olam Haba. One is Shabbos, and the other is Tashmish Nikovim, as it turns out, which was the sugya we were talking about over here. Are you allowed to be Mamashmish on Shabbos, Shalok Ederechol, which was the attack that we had on Rava? I think by now you're persuaded that there really is a good reason for us to be discussing these sugyas over here. And therefore, let us continue with today's daf on Masechet Shabbat, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, and that would be daf Pei Beit. So the last thing that we had learned was the question of whether you should go to yeshiva where they give you a little bit of a background in health matters. And we're back now to the question of what to use in the bathroom. So suppose you have a choice. Hayulafanav tsror vacheres. So you've got a stone or you've got a piece of pottery, broken pottery. Revuna amar, your choice should be choose the stone. Don't use the cheres. Whereas Rav Chisda says, no, it would be better to use the cheres and not to use the stone, because that way you can avoid, this was exactly the issue we spoke about Rabbi Yochanan, it's better not to use something muktzah on Shabbos if you have an alternative. Meisveh, so they asked Ravuna from the Braita, Yulafanav tzror v'cheres, mekaneach b'cheres v'enu mekaneach b'tzror. Here it says b'ferish, not to use the tzror. Do you have to Ravuna? Ravuna says that no, you should never use the cheres. Tirgum Rafa bar Papa Kamei Rav Chisda Libe Ravuna. That the way to understand the Braita Libe Ravuna is we're not talking about a normal piece of broken pottery, enochinam, you should never use because of the fact that it's dangerous. But here we're talking about ogne kelim. Ogne kelim are the broken off rounded top of a kli, and that is very smooth. And because of that, there's no problem in using it, and better to use that than to use a piece of mukta. But normally, of course, if it's sharp, then it's better to use the mukta. Okay. What if you've got another choice? Your choice would be to use a stone or to use grass. Now, Rashi's understands the grass issue to be not grass that's attached to the ground. And it's talking about grass because grass can give you paper cuts. The edge of grass, as I'm sure you've noticed, is very sharp. And because of that, it would be dangerous to get those kind of cuts. And therefore, in order to avoid infection, don't use the grass, maybe. So, chadam har mekaneach b'tzror v'en mekaneach b'asavim v'chadam har mekaneach b'asavim v'en mekaneach b'tzror. But the shot that Rashi was makabel from his rebbe's was that it's talking about grass that is actually attached to the ground, and the use of this grass would be very good for purposes of cleaning oneself, except for the fact that if you pull too hard on them, you're going to detach them from the ground, and then you would be over on Oker Dover Migidulai. But since they are so close to the ground, there's no iser of using something that's attached to the ground. So what would be better? And that's what they would be talking about. So Meisvei, how could we say, it says in the Braita Beferish that you can't use grass bichlal, because that would be almost as bad as using toilet paper. And it says in the Braita, "Hamikaneach b'davar sha'ur sholetet bo," using anything flammable for cleaning yourself will cause shinava tachtonot noshrot, that will loosen the muscle connection to the sphincter, and then you'll get a prolapsed rectum, and that's bad news. Says the Gemara, lo kasha, habalachin, where we say you're allowed to use the grass, and according to one shita, it's even preferable. That's talking about where it's damp, and therefore it will not burn. But habiyaveshin, the Braita is talking about the general iser of using anything flammable, and therefore it's talking about dry grass. Now, hanitzrach lipanot ve'inu nifnes, somebody who needs to use the bathroom and doesn't, Rav Chisda and Rav Ina argue about what will happen to him. So one Mandi Amar says that he's going to end up with a problem of bad odor from his mouth. This is called a specific type of halitosis that comes from stomach disorder. So it's digestive disorder, halitosis. The other says the big problem is going to happen is that he's going to start having body odor in general. And there's a braita that says that it's actually a body odor. Somebody who needed to go to the bathroom and he eats and he doesn't. It would be like an oven that you heat without taking out the old ashes on it. So it means that you're not going to be able to digest the food properly. The same way that you can't get the fire going properly. And of course, the way in which the Gemara is noting that digestion and burning is exactly the same thing is a very beautiful type of comparison over here. So basically, you are a furnace, a biological furnace, and you're not going to be able to do your biology very effectively. V'zoi trilat ruach zuhama, and that's the beginning of a body odor. So you see from here in the Braita, like the Mandi Amar, who says it's ruach zuhama. Hu tzach lipanot v'nu yachol lipanot. How about if you need to go to the bathroom, but you're having a hard time moving your bowels? Om Rav Chisda yamod v'yashev, yamod v'yashev. Stand up, sit down, multiple times. Rav Chana min Arda amar yistalek litzadim. Move to different sides of the room and walk between them and eat. Each time, attempt to move your bowels. Rav Amnuna amar yamashresh b'tzrora b'oto makom. As we saw before, that sometimes it's possible to stimulate a bowel movement by touching the area with a stone. Rabbanan Amrei Yasiach Daita. You know what? Stop thinking about it so much. You know, maybe that will help you. Omele Ravach, Breda Ravel Ravashi, that'll kill you, man. If you don't concentrate on going to the bathroom when you need to go to the bathroom, you'll simply forget all about it. So Koshikein, the Chimasach Daita Lo Mifane. If you're Mesiach Das, you're not going to get to the bathroom. No, I don't mean yisyardato from going to the bathroom. I mean, stop thinking about anything else. Darn it. Concentrate. What are you sitting there reading the New York Times for? Yisyardato midvorim achirim. And try to get your business done. Omri b'yirmi difti lididi chazili ahutai. I saw this Arab guy who was obviously having a problem going to the bathroom, and he just kept standing up and sitting down, standing up and sitting down, until he finally exploded. Ad shafach yikidera. All right, now that we've gotten through these sukkahs, it's nice to put them behind us, so let's just close up till we get to the Mishnah. Tana Rabbanan, hanichnas l'su'udat keva. You want to walk in, you're going to be at a wedding or something, right? Now, you certainly don't want to need to get up, start pushing people out of the way because you got to run to the bathroom in the middle of the wedding. So you want to make sure that you take care of all of that kind of stuff before you go in. So the thing to do is yahalech eser pamim shel arba arba amot. So you should walk 10 times, short walks, 4 amos apiece, or some say 4 walks of 10 amos apiece, then go into the bathroom. You'll be able to relieve yourself, and then you can safely go in to the wedding, nichnas v'yoshev v'mekomo, without needing to worry about needing to take a trip. Remember, in those days, it was quite a trip, without needing to take a trip to the bathroom. And remember the Gemara in Brachas, Al zot yitpalel kol chassid le'et mitzvah. What's le'et mitzvah? A bathroom. So that you should always have a bathroom near your table or near your wedding hall. In these days of COVID times, this has become a serious issue. This is no joke, because bathrooms are really, really dangerous. Flushing a toilet is incredible, the amount of viral material and so on that comes out of those toilets. And there's a major problem in what is going to be done now about, I mean, people don't travel anymore, because what if they need a bathroom? It's a serious issue. And they're calling it, actually, I saw, instead of social distancing, social pissening. So that there's actually a problem with, what do I do? And this is no joke. So the question of a year of Le'es Mitzvah becomes more and more nogea. Richie can speak of personal experience. Yeah, okay, but now, I mean, no, serious. I mean, these are all really serious. They sound funny, but it's all part of this sugya. But this idea of social pissening is actually a major thing that's in the news, because friendly trees are no longer looked at as friendly, because people are very angry about, what if you're sick and you're spreading around, you know, I didn't know that you spread your viruses here. You know, so it's no longer so friendly. The people are very, they get very angry. Yeah, so it's a real sugya.
Viruses have a certain shelf life.
Yeah. Anyway. All right, Rich. Yes?
In the perversions of the Essenes in Qumran or wherever lived there, they didn't defecate on Shabbat. And they had a special place outside. So these issues of Hotzah, identification is part of the perversions of their own
hogos. Oh, wow-wee.
It's a whole world.
Wow. Whole world. Unbelievable. I never knew that. Thank you. That's really unbelievable. Okay, Sir Richard.
Rebbe.
Yes.
Defecation.
Okay, getting back to Hotzah, which is where we all started. If you're taking out cheres, you have a piece of earthenware. So what would be the shear that's considered to be chashev? K'dei litein bin patsim l'chavero. So if you've got a stack of wood, or slats or anything, thing like that, it needs to be evened out. In order not to warp, you need enough to be able to fit between one board and another. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir says, no, the shear is enough to be able to be chote bo ataur. It needs to be something that you can use to pick up like a coal with or something if you want to move it. Rabbi Yossi says, it needs to be a shear to be mekabel revius. It needs to be able to hold a revius. Omer Rabbi Meir says, I can show you that I'm right. Alpha pisha in raya la davar. I can't absolutely prove it, but the Torah actually gives you a zecher ledavar, and that is v'lo yimatzei b'mechitato cheres lachtot eish miyakud. So here it's talking about, the Navi is making fun of Klal Yisrael for trusting the Mitzrayim to be some type of savior for them in Milchama. And he says, you know what that wall is going to be worth? It's going to be shattered into such tiny pieces that not even the smallest little bit of cheres will be left. And what is that smallest bit? Lachtot eish miyakud. Enough to be able to get a little bit of coal, a little bit of fire from a burning hearth. Omar le Rabbi Yossi, says Rabbi Yossi to Rabbi Meir, more are you in trouble, man. Because the very pusik that you brought to prove your pshat actually proves my pshat. Misham Raya, continue on, and there won't be a big enough piece. V'lachasof mayim migeva. You won't even have enough to scoop up water from a puddle. Okay? So you see that the shear is, the lesser shear, is not even enough to skim a little bit of water with. That's what I said, which is the shear revius. So you see that I'm the one who's right, not you. Now, when you think about it, I mean, misvara, in terms of the way that it's just the way you would think about it, I mean, it's logical to say that Rabbi Yossi's shear of scooping up water should be bigger than Rabbi Meir's shear, because to pick up a little coal with a piece of cheres could be tiny, but to take a whole revius, that's serious, no? And yet, if you take a look at the pasuk, it seems clear in the pasuk that Rabbi Meir's shear is larger, because it makes no sense to say the pasuk the way, if you would reverse that, because he's talking about the shear of Rabbi Yossi Nafish. If Rabbi Yossi's shear is actually larger, so what's the Navi saying over here? You're not going to find, even a small little piece. And you know what? You won't even find a big piece. It doesn't make any sense. Because Layit Lebamana Zutravada, Layit Lebamana Rab, I mean, that's the opposite of the way in which anybody normal would talk. Omar Abaye, what the Mishnah is referring to, according to Rabbi Meir, is a big piece, because it's talking about Lachtot Esh Miyikida Gdola. He meant that it would be large enough to get a coal out of this big bonfire on Lag BaOmer. Now, to be able to get all the way up there, you need to have a large piece, because otherwise you're going to burn yourself. Now, when Rabbi Yossi said, Misham Raya, Rabbi Yossi is absolutely right. I mean, Rabbi Yossi is showing that in the end of the very same pasuk that Rabbi Meir is bringing as a raya, that his is the shear of that, that's the even the least useful thing would be to get a piece of coal. It goes on to say, and even something that would be useful for a revius. So how does Rabbi Meir explain that? No, Rabbi Meir says, the Navi is saying, look, not only, it was Lomi Boykomer, not only will you not be able to find something that has any chashivas for people, you won't even be able to find a piece of junk like Rabbi Yossi's shear, which is completely useless. And even that, you won't be able to find and to use. And that is the klala that we're talking about. And that gives us another excuse to hear from Richie, because we have now, Baruch Hashem, Hadron Halacha Motzi Yayin. Omar Rabbi Akiva says, Rabbi Akiva, how do we know? Minayin la avodah zarah. Unless you want me to be kind and stop here and start the continuation tomorrow and catch up. But at least let's just do the Mishnah, because that way we can get in the supposed machlokas Rashi and Tosfos about what the heck this is doing here. So, Omar Rabbi Akiva. How do you know that an idol, an icon, would be metame just by carrying it, even if you don't touch it, the same way that a nida is, it becomes metame things just by carrying her? So you should treat this thing, throw it out the way you would a dava, push it away from you. That pasuk, the whole pasuk is all about avodah zarah. And say to it, ouch, you go. So this comparison to isha dava, vahadava betumata, that we had before in Parshas, the mitzora, over there, just like anida is mitama b'masa, af avodah zarah mitama b'masa. Now, Rashi says, what in the world is this doing here? It's because it's introducing a series of limudim from psukim, and one of them is about washing off a brit milah on Shabbat. So because of that, we bring it here as an introduction to that sukkim. Tosfos says that makes no sense. First of all, if we wanted to bring something that has to do with Milah, the place to bring it is in the Perek about Milah that we're going to have later on, which is Perek Reb Eliezer de Milah. Why would we suddenly put it in over here? There, and besides, it makes no sense to have a list of things where if the whole point of the list is that it's talking about something that was Nogea Shabbos, which was the Dinah Marchitzedat HaMilah, so then why don't we start with that? So start with that and then move on to these other drushes that we're going to be having in this perek of Rabbi Akiva. Therefore, Tosfos says the real reason that we bring this pasuk here is because it's in the same perek as the pasuk that we were just derish at the end of the previous perek. So over there it says, there you will not even find a cheres lachtot esh miyakot v'lachsof mayim migeva. That was the machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. And then a few psukim later, we now have the whole discussion about the way that Klal Yisrael is meant to treat the psilei kaspecha and so on, that it's all tameh. And over there it says, tizreim kamo davat seito marlo. So as a continuation of the pasuk that we introduced, we're now going to begin the next pasuk in the next parak, which obviously, I mean, I have no idea why this wasn't clear, but Tosfos is just as outrageous as Rashi is. Why in the world would we bring the entire perek of issues of pasuk, because it happens to be the next pasuk that has nothing to do with the sugya at all, and it's not really the next pasuk, like 10 sukkim later. But anyway, clearly each one of these pshatim complement the other, right? And if it's Tosfos, would have to agree that Rashi, who points out that the relationship to Mila, which has to do with our sugya here on Shabbos, that would be a reason for us to be involved in this Bichlal, why we would begin with this pasuk, which is Tosfos' problems with Rashi. Tosfos answers himself. We would begin with this series at the point that we had left off in the previous parak. So put the two together, and at least we have some sense of what this is doing here. I think Kedarkenu, we're going to have to look into it and try to see if we can find a fundamental interrelationship. But for that, we need to wait till tomorrow when we get further into Parak Rabbi Akiva. Perfect time of the year.
The Neil is suggesting the relationship between the bathroom, the toilet, and Avodah Zarah, because when they wanted to be mizvaze of Avodah Zarah, Yehu and Sharon, he built a toilet, like we found in Lachish. That's how it's a counterpart.
Yes, and that was the pasuk that calls it Lamutzaot, which is Hotza.
Right. That's exactly right. The question of whether you read it with the Kriyotic scene, because you're allowed to make fun of Avodah Zarah,
yes,
was
right.
Expressed even there.
Correct. Beautiful. Okay, excellent. Thank you, Daniel, and thank you for Barnea for bringing us to the attention of the insights of Daniel. Omer Rabbi Akiva, minayin lavodah zarah shemetama b'masa kenida, shenemar tizreim kemo dava, tzei tomar lo. So throw these things out. They were just talking about all the avodah zarah that Yisrael did. Throw these things out. Out you go, you should say to it. What's the comparison to dava? Ma nida metama b'masa, af avodah zarah metama b'masa. Now, the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah talks about a case. Tanhat, misha ya beto samuch l'avodah zarah v'nafal, asur levnoto. So somebody who owns a home and the house next door became a church. So now they've got this Avodah Zarah in this church. And the wall between the two buildings collapses. Now, if you go ahead, the owner of the home goes ahead and rebuilds the wall, so he's essentially rebuilding the wall for the church. So therefore, he can't do that. So what he should do is move into 4 amot away from his property line, and then he should build. And that way, the church doesn't get the hanah from his wall. The Gemara over there discusses the question of why won't that give the church an ability to expand the church and just build it up against it. Fine, we'll talk about that over there. But in any event, hayashalo v'shal avodah zarah, so far this has nothing to do with us. Hayashalo v'shal avodah zarah, how about if the wall was owned jointly between the church and you? So then, Nidon Mechza al Mechza, so then half of the thickness of the wall is considered to be yours, and therefore when you pull back from your property line, you would be pulling back from midway between the thickness of the wall, the part that's towards the other house in the row houses and your own. Now here's the part that is important to us. The Mishnah then says that Avanav, Ve'itzav, Ve'afarav, Mitamim Kisheretz, that all of the pieces that are there that were left from the wall, they're all considered to be owned by the church, and because of that, they would have a din of Avodah Zarah. And over there again, we have to discuss why the building would have a din of Avodah Zarah. It's talking about, it says over there, it's talking about that they actually had been personally mishtachavet every single brick or to every single piece of wood, whatever it was made out of. Okay, again, that's not what's important to us. What's important to us is that it says over here it would only be mitame like a sheretz, not like a nida. And the reason that the Mishnah gives for only being mitame like a sheretz is because the Torah actually compares the din of the Avodah Zarah to a sheretz, because it says, V'lo tavito eval betecha, V'hayit acherim kamo, shaketz t'shaktzenu. So Lashon of sheketz is similar to Lashon of sheretz. And oftentimes we use them together, so it means that it would only be metame like a sheretz. Now we'll see what this means. What do we mean when we say only like a sheretz as opposed to a nida? That's going to be a machlokas. Rabbi Akiva in Masechet Avodah Zarah says the same thing that he says over here in Masechet Shabbat. No. All of these pieces are actually metame like a nida. And he brings the pasuk that we had. V'timeitem et tzipui psilei chaspecha ve'et afudat masechat zahavecha tizreim kimo dava tzei tomarlo. So basically, you're saying it's like a davah. Ma nida mitama b'masa, af avodah zarah mitama b'masa. Now, so it means we have a machlokas over here. Do we treat it like a sheretz? And a sheretz is only mitame if you touch it. But a nida would be mitame like a zov or a zova if you lift her. That's what it seems to be saying. So therefore, it would be metame b'masa as well, and not only like a sheretz. Omar Rabbah. Now, Rabbah gives us his insight into why it is that Rabbi Akiva is going to say what Rabbah believes he's saying. And we'll see that there's a machlokas. According to Rabbah, what we just said is not really true. And that the Chachomim say it's only mitame b'maga and not b'masa, whereas anida is mitame b'masa, it's much worse than that, as we're about to see. But what is it based on? This is how the Tosfos understands what it's based on. It's based on Rabbah's understanding of the diuk that Rabbi Akiva is making in the Pasuk. The Pasuk is not merely comparing it to the Dava. The Pasuk is telling you something to which is extreme. Tizreim kumo Dava. Tsei tomarlo. The meaning of that is, Tizreim diomakro, nachrinu mincha, make them completely alien to you like a czar. So in other words, make them alien. Tizreim doesn't just mean throw them out. It means treat them like they came from Mars. And then the other Tsei Tomarlo is telling you, Hikanes al Tomarlo, give it zero opening. What does this mean, explains the Ri? That even though all of these psukim are really relationships that are esmachtot bi'alma, obviously, these aren't serious drushas. First of all, this pasuk is divrei Kabbalah. You can't make a drusha from it. And the word shaketz t'shaktzenu even is also not a real drusha, because the simple meaning of the pasuk is just to be mita'evit. However, says Rava, even though normally when we have a pasuk that we're using for Rabbanan, so the din would be that if we have two ways of understanding the pasuk, one l'chumra and one l'kula, if it's a Rabbanan, we'll go l'kula. We're going to see that that is a fundamental piece of how to understand this Gemara. Masha Inkein, Rava is going to be machmir from the psukim, and he's giving his reason. And that is that the Esmachta itself is indicative of an extreme way of dealing with this. Give it zero opening. Treat it like a Martian. So what that's telling me is don't use your normal idea that a Drabbanan should be done Lakula. Over here, treat it with extreme unction, so to speak. So if that's the case, what I understand is like this. Amar Rabba, that therefore b'masa dekulei amalo pligi de mitama. Everybody is made to the pasuk that's brought in the Mishnah by Rabbi Akiva. It definitely is like a dava. So if it's like an isha dava, it will be mitame if you pick it up and carry it, despite the fact that you never came into contact with it. That's called tumas masa. That isn't the issue. Ki pligi be'even misama. The machloket over here is in an extreme tuma, which is called Evan Misama. Rabbi Akiva Sava Kenida. Rabbi Akiva says, okay, we will treat this din of Avodah Zarah exactly as we would a Nida. And just like a Nida is Metama be'Evan Misama, Af Avodah Zarah Metama be'Evan Misama. What exactly is the Evan Misama? We spoke about this earlier, and it's a major machlokas all over between the approach of Rashi and the approach of Tosfos. Tosfos understands that Evan Misama means that even though we have a concept when it comes to all of the Metame Mishka Vumoshev, which includes a Zov, a Zova, a Nida, a Yoledet, these are Metame Mishka Vumoshev, and therefore, they have a new tuma. And that new tuma is what is referred to as, normally, the general klal of tumas midras. However, that new tuma, it also includes the mirror image of tumas masa. And what would that be? Tumas heset, it's called. Please write that down and keep it in mind. Heset. This is a new term. What heset is that in the event that the Zov, Zava, Nida, Yoledet would move something or would support something, that thing would become Tamei just as if someone had picked them up. So in other words, it's the opposite of Masa. Masa is the person who is tohar picks up the tuma, and heset is the person who is tamei picks up that which is tohar, does not come in contact with it. We're going to have an example later on of a large scale, a commercial scale, in which you've got 200 pounds in one side of a kli, and in the other side, the zov walks onto it and moves the scale up. That will make Tomei, anything that was on the other side of the scale, that is shayach to Tumas Midras. Now, we'll see what Tumas has to be shayach to with the Gemara. But in any event, that is what would normally be to the din of Heset, which would mean that if something is being supported by the Zov, so then it will be Mekabel Tuma. Now, what about if it's not literally supported by the Zov? And this is learned out from the pasuk, kol hanogea b'chol asher yad tachtav yitma. So anything which would be that which would be underneath. From there, we learned out this concept of elyono shel zav. So anything which is above the zav. But what do we mean exactly by above the zav? So Rashi learns, let's say you've got this enormous rock that is being supported on these legs, and there's a zav underneath it. That would mean that even something that is on top of that rock will become tamei because it's el yono shel zav. Tosfos says that doesn't make any sense at all to him. Because how does this relate to being actually supported by the Zav? It's not supported at all. Furthermore, where do you get the idea that it's, why a rock? What do you mean, Evan Misama? Has something to do with a rock? And if you have a flat board that's put onto legs and the Zav is under the board, I mean, it would be exactly the same thing. So why in the world would we talk about a rock? Therefore, Tosfos learns that the meaning of an Evan Misama is where the additional weight of the individual on this rock is negligible. So when you have the rock that is sitting on top of something which has the tuma of Hesed, the fact that I add to this 200-pound rock another pound of some kli or something is not noticeable. So therefore, you would think that maybe it's not considered to be tame because of normal hesed, because we don't register the difference in the support. Komash malan, that it's tame, even though it's an even, that this is based, you will remember, on the pasuk in Daniel, v'sumat even choda, they put down on top of the lion's den, they put down this thing, that big, gigantic rock that would make it impossible to escape. Okay, so that story with Daniel, that is a story that is the basis of this concept, Vesumat. So Vesumat means they needed to bring a crane and put it down. That's how heavy it was. So therefore, over here, we use that idea, which works according to Tosfos. According to Rashi, says Tosfos, why would we use this? Gentlemen, I just got a call from Rabbi Kaplan this minute as I'm talking to you to remind you that he is trying to collect money for Shavuos. Now, the reason he's trying to collect money for Shavuos is not because Shavuos needs money for cheesecake. It's because there is no other excuse that he has for giving out money to these aniyim. He doesn't like to give out money in a way that's insulting or makes them feel stam that they need support. So he looks for excuses. So in be able to give like a gift for the Chag and so on, for people who truly don't have money to be able to enjoy the Chag, even though there's no particular issue by Shavuos necessarily that you have to give Moyes Chitim or anything like that, he takes advantage of these additional periods. So because of that, he asked if anybody would be interested in being Mishtatev to please let me know. I will let him know, and Bezrat Hashem, he will add it to Barnea's envelope. You want to just wave the envelope, Barnea? There we go. You want his banking details? Okay, well, you don't have like something simple like PayPal or something? Yeah, okay, fine. So you could send it to me and I'll send it to him. I mean, I'm happy to ask him for his banking details directly. Okay, anyway, back to the Gemara. So this would be the meaning of Evan Misama. Therefore, we're saying it's like this. So, Rabbanea, will you remind us again tomorrow, Bezrat Hashem? He's been asking me all week, and I finally told him, call me in the middle of the daf, and I'll see your number on the phone. So, Baruch Hashem, he did. Okay, so now Rabba says like this. The simple meaning of the Mishnah that was comparing on the one hand to Sheretz and on the other hand to Nida, you're right. The simple meaning was that Sheretz is Metame only B'maga, not B'masa, and the Nida is also Metame B'masa. However, since the Pasuk, the way I understand the Pasuk of Tizreim K'modavat Seitom Arla, is telling me to go to extremes, so I say that actually, even the Chachomim, who argue with Rabbi Akiva, and they say it's similar to Sheretz, are not saying that it's not Matame B'masa. It is Matame B'masa. I'll explain to you how the Limud works. So therefore, I say the Rabbanan are also made a Kulei Amalo Pligi de Matame B'masa for sure, because they're not arguing about the fact that there's a comparison over here to Nida. Ki Pligi B'Evin Misama Rabbi Akiva Sova K'Nida. Rabbi Akiva says, Avodah Zarah is totally like the Nida. Ma Nida mitama, even be'evan misama, because Nida has the same din as Zava. When the Rabbanan say that, no, it's only Metame Kesheretz, all they mean to say is that Ma Sheretz lo Metame be'evin ma misama, af avodizora lo Metame be'evin misama. And therefore, they're actually striking a balance between the two psukim, between the Yishad Dava that it's compared to, and the Shaketz to Shaktzeno, which is the Sheretz that it's compared to. And they're saying that in essence, it's really like the Nida, except the Torah didn't want us to go overboard and compare it to the Nida, even vis-a-vis Evan Misama. Because of that, the Torah also hinted that it's compared to Sheretz and limited it so that it's stuck between Maga on the one hand, which is the easiest Tumah, and Evan Misama, which is the hardest Tumah on the other hand, and settles on Tumas Masa. That's how I understand it. So according to Rabbi Akiva, okay, now I understand the Rabbah, but according to Rabbi Akiva, what's the point of comparing it to a Sheretz? No, because Mishamshe Avodah Zorah indeed are only Metame Kesheretz. So the Avodah Zorah itself would be Metame Bev and Mesama. But that which is Meshamesh, the Avodah Zorah, let's say you have a bowl in which you bring the sacrifice or stuff like that, those are called Meshamesh Avodah Zorah. Those things are Tamei, but they're only Tamei like a Sheretz. And according to the Rabbanan, why do we compare it to the Nida? Well, I've already explained to you. In order to tell me that it's Metamei B'masa. Oh, no, wait a minute. That's a little weird. I mean, because then there's a simple solution. If all you're trying to do is to tell me that Avodah Zorah is Metame B'masa, but not Metame B'Evan Misama, I mean, it's crazy to do it by saying, well, on the one hand, it's like a Nida, and on the other hand, it's like a Sheretz, and then lead you to compromise. It's crazy. All you need to do is compare it directly to a Nevela. A Nevela is Metame B'masa, and it's not Metame B'Evan Misama. And then we wouldn't need all of this weird kind of two different comparisons to strike a balance. So ask the Gemara. So according to that, look Sherachmana l'nevela. Eina chinami, you're right. We could have compared it to a nevela, but we need the comparison for Nida anyway, and therefore this is the best way to do it. Why? To teach me that ma Nida eina le'evarim, af avodah zarah eina le'evarim. So just like if a Nida loses an arm or something, that arm is not Metame Benida. It is Metame like Tumas Meis, because even an Avrim and Achai is Metame Ba'oel and so on, but it's not Metame the way a Nida is Metame. And therefore, the same thing is true about Avodah Zorah. Once the Avodah Zorah is taken apart, it's not going to be Metame. So then if that's the case, Elohad Deboi Rav Chama Bar Guria. But later on, we're going to learn that Rav Chama Bar Guria was questioning what would be the din of an Avodah Zorah that you could take apart. So Avodah Zorah, is it Metame le'Evarim or not Metame le'Evarim? According to the way you're understanding it now, we know the answer. I mean, at least according to Rabbanu, we know the answer, because the only reason that we had for the Rabbanu to compare Avodah Zorah to Nida instead of to an Avela is to tell me that it's not le'Evarim. So then why did he question that? Says the Gemara, he questioned it because you only know it according to Rabbanan. Reb Chama Bar Guria wanted to know according to Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, the comparison to Nida is to tell me the din of Evan Misama. So he was saying, okay, then what would Rabbi Akiva hold about the question of whether it's Le'evarim or not? That I don't know. So that you can't answer that necessarily from the Rabbanan, obviously. This is Rabba's approach. Now, Rebbe Elazar, on the other hand, he said, no, take the Mishnah exactly the way it appears. It's clearly Rabbi Akiva holds it's like Nida, the Rabbanan holds it's like a Sheretz, and what that means is, as the way you always understood it, nobody was talking about Evan Misama over here. Evan Misama kuli amalo pligi de lo mitama, because remember, since we're talking over here only about a Tumah de Rabbanan, we certainly are not going to be machmer to give it a din of Evan Misama because of the comparison to the Dava, if we have indications that it's not only like the Dava. So the question over here was, what is the primary Tumah? Is the primary Tumah only like Sheretz And therefore, it's only metama bimaga, and there's no tumas masa at all? Or is it even like a nida, where there's also a tumas masa? That's what the Mishnah means. That's the way you understood it. That's the way I understand it. We don't have to take this business about Rabbah saying we should go to Chumra over here. We will go to Kula. So the Rabbanan say it's like a sheretz, okay? The Torah says shaketz the shaketzeru, man. That's all you need to know. Just like a sheretz is not metame b'masa, so to Avodah Zorah is not metame b'masa. And according to Rabbi Akiva, who says, no, you got to look at the fact that it's compared to Anida. Why? How does he explain the pasuk that says shaketz the shaketzeru like a sheretz? That is to tell me, like you said, like Rabbi said, that's to tell me what the din of Meshamshi Avodah Zorah are, that they are only metame like a sheretz. But what about according to the Rabbanan? Why, according to the Rabbanan, is there a comparison to Nida at all? The same thing that you said. Just like a Nida is Eina le'evarim, so to Avodah Zorah is Eina le'evarim. And according to Rabbi Akiva, why, according to you, if the only issue is, my dear Rabbi Elazar, the only issue is that we're not really going to compare this to Anida and say, let's go all the way and make this a metama be'evin misama. You could have done that very simply by comparing it to a nevela. The nevela is metame b'masa, but it's not metame evin misama. So why not just compare it to a nevela? Look, shel nevela, ein achinami. But according to this approach, Rabbi Elazar's approach, the reason that Rabbi Akiva learns it has to be compared to Nida and not to Nevela is to tell me that ma Nida eina le'evarim, af avodah zarah eina le'evarim. Same answer that we had given before, according to the Rabbanan. So now if that's the case, we have the same question that we asked before. So then, Elohadaboy Reb Chama Bar Guria, what would be the dinner of Avodah Zorah that's broken up into pieces? Well, see, this means it can be, it's disassemblable into pieces. Is it going to be Metame in its Evorim or not? Now you know that both Rabbanan and Rabbi Akiva hold that it's not Metame Le'evorim according to this approach. Because according to the approach of Rabbi Elazar, even Rabbi Akiva has to agree that the comparison to Nida is to tell me ain't a levarim. So what was Reb Chama Bar Guria thinking? Reb Chama Bar Guria doesn't agree with Reb Elazar. Reb Chama Bar Guria understood the Mishnah exactly the way Rabba understood the Mishnah, in which case we only know, according to Rabba, what the Rabbanan hold about the comparison to Nida teaching us that it's Eina Le'evarim. But we do not know that according to Rabbi Akiva, because the way Rabbah understood Rabbi Akiva, the reason that we have the comparison to the Nida is to tell me the halacha that it's in, that it is the Evan Misama, not to tell me that it is not Mitame with Evarim.